my truth and light in you, and have it shine on all the inward parts. The entrance of my word gives light, and my light illuminates. My light shows you the way. Walk in the light as I am in the light, and let's have fellowship one with another. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, I'm thankful for his light. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, you may have your seats. Chapter 3. Oh, and here at VCF, we don't pass a container for our giving, but we have a seed planter in the back. And you can put your offering or gift in there anytime during the service. Or if you don't have a check or a cash, you can use our bookstore card, or you can go online. If you do make a check, make it out to VCF. There's envelopes in the back there and pens, and that'll be a blessing to you. Amen, because it is good to give, isn't it? And you can't outgive God. And I want to welcome a very special guest who's dear to my heart, my father-in-law, Reverend Serge, not Serge Paul, who's here from Guyana. And it's good to have him here. Amen. And if you're watching, following us on Facebook Live, we just welcome you as you listen, and you'll be blessed by hearing the Word of God. Isn't God good? Isn't God more than enough? Do you need anything else other than God? Okay. Well, we're going to talk about how God is enough, and we're looking at examples of supernatural increase that occurred in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Verses 20 and 21, it says, "To him who by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able," say, "is able, to carry out his highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Another translation says, "To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above." You guys get excited about those words? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. That's who our God is. And he has the power to back him up. What God said in his word, we can have. Amen? What God said we could do in his word, we can do. Amen? Do you believe that? All right, let me give you a few scriptures, and I want you to ask yourself, do I believe what it says? Okay? Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to read this, and I just want you to ask yourself, you don't have to do it out loud, but just ask yourself, do I believe what it says? Okay? Deuteronomy 29, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says this. "And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Now look at verse 9 in particular, okay? Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may, what? In what? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can prosper simply by keeping what is said in this book and doing it? You don't need anything else to prosper. Do you believe that? Is that true? Did God say that? Can we have that as a reality in our life? Absolutely. Amen? All right? Go to chapter 30 and verse 5. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. Do you believe that God is in the multiplication business? You know, God created math, so he's a master multiplier, right? So do we believe that God multiplies? Okay? Why am I asking you these questions? Because I want to see if we really believe it. I mean, it's very easy to say, oh yes, I believe it. But it's another thing to actually really believe it and embrace it. Okay? Let me give you another one. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And really, I have a whole list here. If I went over the list, we'd be here all night. And I only have an hour, so I'm giving you bits and pieces. Amen? Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that you may what? How? Wherever you go. Do you believe that you can prosper wherever you go, doing what God told Joshua to do? Did Joshua prosper wherever he went? Do you realize Joshua was a soldier? He worked with Moses. He served Moses. He fought the first battle for Israel when they left Egypt. He eventually became the leader of the Israelites. He defeated 33 kings. He brought Israel into their inheritance. He divided the land that he conquered as their inheritance. Did he prosper wherever he went? He prospered against armies. He prospered against impenetrable cities. He overcame obstacles. He crossed the Jordan at flood stage. Everywhere he went, he prospered. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of where? Your mouth. That means keep speaking the word. You shall meditate in it once a week. Oh, wait, your Bible doesn't say that? What does your... Day and night? You mean I've got to meditate in this day and night? That sounds like a lot of work. Well, look at the benefit. That you might observe to do according to all that is written in, for then you'll make your way prosperous and have what? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Word of God can make you prosperous and successful? Success really is doing what God wants you to do on this planet while you're here. Amen? Because ultimately, who are we going to stand before when this life is over? We're going to stand before God, right? And he's going to say, number one, what'd you do with my son? Number two, what'd you do with what I called you to do? All right? So we can answer those questions now. Let's accept Jesus as our Savior and let's live for him and work for him. Amen? Okay. Can you handle one more? All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. See, I'm setting you up before we get into our story tonight. Whenever you read something in the Bible, just ask yourself, do I really believe that? And when you really, if you really believe it, embrace it and just walk in it. Did you know that God's Word is the most practical book? You can actually do what it says. You can actually live it out in your life. And if you want to raise kids, there's no better book than the Bible. If you want to find a spouse, there's no better book in the Bible to prepare you and get you ready. Amen? If you want to know why you're here, there's no better book to go by. All right, you in Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance. What's your substance? That's stuff. In today's terms, it's not so much substance, it's money. Amen? What should we do with our money? Honor who? How do we honor it? How do we honor him? We give it to him. Does God need your money? No, but you need an outlet to give it. Amen? Okay? Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with what? Do you believe God can fill your barns? How? Plenty. Does plenty sound like there's a lot of space in the barns? No. Okay. Then he said, and your presses or your vats shall burst out with new wine. That's talking about your spiritual life. How many want to burst out with new wine? Amen? Okay. Now, in this series, we talked about you feed them, right? Remember Jesus was preaching and there was 5,000 men plus women and children. And the disciples said, Jesus, you send them away so they can buy food. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. Right? How did Jesus feed them? There was a little boy's lunch. 5 loaves, 2 fish, right? The little boy gave the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus blessed them. He gave thanks to God. And what happened? He started feeding people. And Jesus did not put a limit on what people could eat. Jesus did not go around saying, just take a little. A little dab will do you. No. Everybody ate. The Bible says this. Everybody ate until they were fully satisfied. Some people might have even had to loose their belt. And on top of that, they had 12 baskets left over of pieces. Amen? Okay? Now, the second thing that we talked about was fill my boat, right? Peter let Jesus use his boat to preach a sermon. And Jesus preached a sermon. Then when he was finished, he told Peter, launch out into the deep. And Peter said, look, man, we've toiled all night long with a little tear in his eye. And we've caught nothing. But thank God that he didn't stop. He said, nevertheless. Sometimes we need to say nevertheless. At your word, I will let down the net. And what happened when he let down the net? It got so full that it started to break. And he called his partners over, right? And how many boats did they fill? 2 boats. They were full to sinking. Okay? Supernatural increase. We need to increase individually and as a church in the day and hour in which we live. Amen? Why do we need to prosper? I'm so glad that you asked that question. Number one, we need to support the work of the Lord. And let me just ask you, let me just tell you, to prosper simply means a full supply. Everybody say full supply. You have enough to do what you need to do and enough to bless others. God made Abraham a blessing. He blessed him and made him a blessing, right? In other words, Abraham had so much that he was able to share with others too along the way. Okay? All right. So number one, support God's work. Number two, be free to do, go, and be what God's called you to be. Number three, why should we prosper? It pleases God. Number four, to take dominion on the earth. How much land can you buy? Yeah. You can buy as much land as what you can afford, right? But the more land you can buy, the more income you can generate. Amen? What if a church could buy land that was being used for evil purposes and turn it into something good? Amen? But it takes money to do that, doesn't it? God doesn't mind you having money as long as money doesn't have you. Amen? Okay? Why should we prosper? Being financially free eliminates stress. Whew! Financial freedom, it eliminates stress. How many less arguments would you have if you were financially free? Why should we prosper? To establish God's covenant. Deuteronomy 8:18, he's given us the power to get wealth and he may establish his covenant. And then finally, why should we prosper? God causes us to prosper by his book. Now I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26, and it brings us to our story for tonight. Okay? And our story for tonight is... Say that with me. Say, plant where God tells me. And we're going to find our story right here in Genesis 26. And we're going to get to the supernatural increase part, so just hang in there. It starts off with bad news. There was a famine in the land. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. You know, Isaac's a pretty smart man. When there's a famine, go hang out with the king. Amen? That's smart, isn't it? Hey, there's a famine in the land. I'm going to go hang out with the king. Okay? Now, here's where it gets good. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him. You know, God knows how to get you out of trouble. God knows how to change your circumstances. God knows how to turn things around in your life. When does God appear? He appears in a famine. God's presence shows up when you're in trouble. When resources are depleted. When things don't look so good. When you're wondering how you're going to get out of this. And the Lord said something to Isaac. Verse 2. Go not down into Egypt. Why would God say that? See, because when there was a famine in Abraham's day, before Isaac was born, Abraham went down to Egypt. And he probably told Isaac, He said, man, when there was a famine here, one day, Isaac, let me tell you, son, I went down to Egypt, and even though I messed up a little bit, God protected me, and I got to keep all my stuff that I went to Egypt with. And Egypt was good to me, son, in the famine. So Isaac had a natural inclination that when he was experiencing famine, he could do what his father did, because after all, his father was very rich. Isaac had a rich daddy. Okay? But the Lord said, don't go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Notice he didn't tell them then. You got to trust God. Amen? Everybody say, give me an F. Give me an A. Give me an I. Give me a T. Give me an H. What's it spell? Faith. You've got to have faith in God. He will never show you the whole picture. He will show you a step. And you got to take that step before you get the rest of the picture. Dwell in the land that I will tell you of. Okay, what are you going to tell me? Just hold on. All right, just listen. Sojourn in the land, in this land. Now, what is his promise? Notice, I will be with you. Would that boost your confidence? If God was to say to you, you dwell here and I'll be with you. But if you dwell there, I'm not going to be with you. See, my guarantee of my presence is here. So you dwell here, I'm going to be with you. All right? And I will bless you. Did you notice that God can bless you when circumstances aren't so good for blessing? Do you believe that? God showed up in a famine. He said, don't go there, go here. And I'll be with you, and I will bless you. Now, guess what? At this point in Isaac's life, he was already blessed. He was the heir of Abraham. And Abraham's own servant said, my God has blessed my master with a lot of stuff. He had flocks and herds and servants. He had 318 employees in the Abraham Corporation. He was a businessman, and he had one son supernaturally. He had another son naturally. But this Isaac was born to Abraham in his old age, and guess who got all of Abraham's stuff? It was Isaac. God does not want you to rest on your past. He wants you to trust him now. Yes, God was good to you in the past. God gave you an inheritance then. But what about now? Can you trust him now? Do you believe him now? I will bless you, for unto you and your seed I will give what? What did God promise to give? All these what? Hey, how many would like to get a country? God said he would give Abraham countries. Countries. Hey, Abraham, here's a country. I will give you all these countries. Do you believe that? And notice, I will perform the oath. Let me tell you something. When it comes to prospering, God does the work. You just have to believe him. You just have to obey him. You just have to hear his voice. Right? What do you do in a famine? You listen for God's voice. Get your eyes off the famine. Put them on God. Get your eyes off the barrenness and the emptiness and put it on plenty. Put it on his promises. Put it on his word. God showed up in a famine. He gave them supernatural instructions, direction. He gave them a strategy. He showed him how he's going to work it out. I will perform. Say, God performs His word. You know, He's just waiting to perform His word. Well, how does God perform His word? When you speak it, He acts it out. When you speak it, He brings it to pass. What happened with the man with the withered hand when Jesus said, stretch forth your hand? He stretched forth his hand and his hand was made whole. Okay. Now, I will perform the oath which I swore unto your Abraham, your father. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Notice he didn't say also the sand of the sea. Because Isaac was the spiritual heritage. Guess what? He's talking about us. We're the stars. Say, I'm the stars in Abraham's, in Isaac's heritage. Okay? And will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice. Whoa. Abraham obeyed my voice. What was your father known for? Well, he obeyed God's voice. Amen? And kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Okay? And he did what Abraham did. He told everybody in Gerar that Rebekah was his sister to protect his little hind end. Okay? I'm going to tell them you're my sister so they'll be favorable to me. Well, he got caught. Abimelech was looking through the window one time and he saw Isaac being a husband. And Abimelech says, hey, what's going on here? And, you know, Isaac came clean. And Abimelech charged all of his people not to touch this man or his wife or they'll be put to death. All right, look at verse 12. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in the land. So I don't think he sowed in the famine because if you read, it talks about some time had passed, but it doesn't matter. Isaac, what did he do in that land? What did Isaac do? He sowed. Because God's kingdom, according to Genesis 8:22, revolves around seed time and harvest. God told Noah, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Isaac sowed in that land and received, everybody say received, in the same year 100-fold. Now that's more than 100 times. Say he received 100-fold. Do you believe that you could receive 100-fold? Are you different than Isaac? Do you have faith? Can you hear God's voice? Do you have God's word? Can you do God's word? Then you can receive 100-fold just like Isaac did. In the same year, 100-fold. This is where the increase takes place. Supernatural. And what's the last phrase? And the Lord what? Blessed him. So the blessing on him brought about increase. Okay? Now look at verse 13. This is incredible. The man waxed great, as if that wasn't enough, and went forward and grew until he became very great. Oh, can you say amen? In other words, He prospered, he continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. And guess what? This had nothing to do with the inheritance he received from his father. This was above and beyond his inheritance. Now, my father-in-law is here tonight. And my mother-in-law had a vision from God to sow a seed. They had a piece of property in Guyana. And they were contemplating. I wasn't planning on telling the story until I was sitting during worship and the Lord brought it to my mind. they were contemplating on what they were going to do. Maybe we could sell it, put the money away for our retirement. But God had another plan for the property. They wanted to use the property to help children in their home country. So I was there. We took up an offering with our family. We sowed. Guess what? Prosperity begins at sowing. You want to become prosperous? Be a sower. That offering was probably somewhere over $500. And Bless the Children Home began. And in 2008, a building that could hold 60 plus kids was built debt free. Everybody say debt free. That's exciting. Let me tell you something. We did not know where the money was going to come from. It came from all over the place. It came from different states, people that we didn't know, other people that were inspired. They came and they gave money. They gave their time. They gave because God honored the seed. We sowed and it grew and the building was built debt-free and it's been debt-free and it's 2017. And money is still coming in to support the work there. Then, someone who wasn't even a Christian visited the home. And they wanted to do a project for children in their country. And they visited. They saw some plans. They received a thank you letter or note from my father-in-law. They came back and they said, we want to pay for the project. So a director's home was built debt-free. Everybody say debt-free. It increased. Because we heard God's voice. We were willing to sow what he said sow. We were willing to do the work. I don't know how many trips my father-in-law made back and forth during the construction project. Because you had to be, people had to be there when construction was going on. Otherwise, the construction material would disappear. People would think that it's their material and they would take it on their own. So you couldn't leave materials just sit there. Not like here in America. No, no, no. If you got construction material sitting around in Guyana, it will disappear unless you got people there putting it to use. Amen? So he made countless trips. Building, building, building. And now we're enjoying the fruits of it. Just like Isaac. He sowed. And it grew. And it kept growing. And notice, God never once said, Isaac, that's too much. Never once did God display displeasure on the increase that was taking place in Isaac's life. God was the one who was causing it. God was the one who was bringing it about. It was God who brought about the increase in Isaac's life. What did Isaac do? He heard God's voice. He obeyed what God said. He didn't dwell over here, although he was tempted to. He might have really wanted to go to Egypt. That was a temptation. But he said, no, I'm going to do what God said do, and I'm going to dwell here. And boy, I can guarantee you that when you meet Isaac in heaven, and he's going to tell you so, he said, I'm so glad I obeyed God's voice. Amen? Because he prospered. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Everybody say very prosperous. Supernatural. In 1 year, he received 100-fold on seed that he sowed. Because, see, when you obey God's voice, God will reward you. Say, God is a rewarder. Who does he reward? Hebrews 11:6. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Right? When you believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. What does it mean to diligently seek God? It means every day when you wake up, you say, God, I'm available. And maybe you're doing something and God says, here, can I use you for a minute? Yes, Lord, interrupt my daily routine anytime that you feel necessary. Amen? Don't ever say, God, I can't because I'm too busy. God will say, okay, and he'll go to the next person. Oh, you don't think that God will? God offered a rich young ruler to come and follow him and be his disciple. But the rich young ruler had too much stuff, so the Bible says he walked away sorrowfully. Jesus didn't chase after him, did he? Jesus let him go. He'll let you go too. If you don't want to do what God says do, he'll say, okay. He'll go on to the next person. That's just how God is. God is not going to stop doing what he needs to do. He'll look throughout the earth and find someone. He looks for those whose hearts are loyal to him so that he can be strong to them. But see, this is an example of supernatural increase. I mean, 1 year, you get a hundredfold return. 1 year, you get a supernatural bumper crop. Notice this now. Watch this. If you don't think this had an effect, look at verse 16. Abimelech. Who is Abimelech? The king. Everybody say the king. Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for you are what? Much mightier than we. Isaac was a one, and Abimelech was a we, and the one was greater than the we. How could one be greater than, because the one was hooked up to the one. And that made him greater. Whenever you're hooked up to the one, you will always have an advantage over the world. Whenever you're hooked up to the one, heart, soul, and mind, completely sold out, completely available. Just, Isaiah said, if you're willing and obedient, how are you going to eat? You'll eat the good of the land. But you got to be willing and. Everybody say and. That's a conjunction. It's connecting the two words. If you're willing, that's great. If you're obedient, that's great. But connect the two. You got to be willing and obedient to eat the good of the land. Well, it is time. Especially, it's time for the body of Christ, but especially for those of VCF. Of this branch of the body. You know, we're a branch of the body. We are not the entire body of Christ. We are a part of the body of Christ. In Palmyra, it's time for us to prosper, to continue prospering, and to become very prosperous. Why? We have a world to impact. I have a mission to go to in Africa. I am going to Africa in the first 2 weeks of June. I've been to Africa before, but this is the first time that VCF is conducting its very first crusade. We're doing 3 pastors' trainings and crusades in 3 different locations in Kenya, Africa. This is the first time that we're sponsoring this. I have never sponsored something like this before, but Steve Hoffman and I, we're going to go as the Sons of Thunder. And if you want to be a part of it, you can join Club 120. What's Club 120? I'm looking for 120 partners who can give us $100 a piece. Amen? Well, you say, well, I don't have $100. Well, then join with others that do and combine it together. Amen? I'm going to go whether people partner with me or not because I know God's partnering with me. But I feel it in my heart, in my soul, in my mind. It's time for us to prosper. It's time for us to prosper in our minds, in our bodies, in our pocketbooks, in our families, in our relationships. You know, prosperity is more than just money. It affects your entire life. It is God's will. You look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, Solomon. They were all rich. They all loved God. Some of them started good. Some of them didn't end good. But they loved God. Amen? You can prosper and be in love with God. It's okay. It's, man, some people think Jesus was poor. If he was, how many poor people do you know that have a treasurer? If you're poor, you don't need a treasurer. Amen? Well, he didn't have a house to sleep in. It's because he traveled for 3.5 years intensively. He didn't have a house to live in either. In hotels and motels and people's houses preaching the gospel. He was out. He went about villages and towns and cities. He was constantly on the move. He didn't need a house. He's got one in heaven. And right now, he's building us mansions. But let's prosper now. Let's believe his word. In this series, I'm going over supernatural examples of people who prosper. People just like you and I. Look at your neighbor, or look at someone close to you and say, people just like you and I. Look at your neighbor and say, you look prosperous to me. This is a message that we have to embrace. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says that the gospel is going to go around the world. For those of you that farm, what's the busiest season of farming? Harvest time, right? We gotta make sure that we got fuel for the combine. We gotta make sure the combine's in good working order. What's the you and I are the combine. Amen. We gotta get this barn ready so that it can be filled with the precious fruit of the earth. These seats are reserved for precious fruit. What's precious fruit? People just like you. Amen? Who's going to tell the people? You and I are. Amen? We have a message to tell. We have a story to tell. It's the gospel story. It's what Jesus Christ has done for me. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. You have a voice. God wants you to say this with me. Say, God wants me to prosper. God wants me to increase. God will help me by blessing me. I believe in the blessing. The blessing is God's power to prosper. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, you're there, wherever you are, in your home, you're watching, just call upon the Lord. Just declare your belief that it is His will to prosper. Just embrace it, receive it, and take it in your heart, meditate in it, and call yourself prosperous, and watch what happens. God bless you. And you're here tonight. God wants to prosper you physically. So if you're sick,